Affordable housing is an issue facing communities all across the Rocky Mountain West, and the Durango area is no exception. Today, I'm speaking with Jennifer Lopez, a Durango resident and an affordable housing consultant working in Colorado, Arizona, and New Mexico. And that is the train in the background from Durango, no doubt. Jen helped develop the Durango La Plata County Homeless Strategy in 2020 and has extensive knowledge and background as related to affordable housing. Thanks, Jen, for joining us here on KSUT.
This is so much fun, Tammy. We go way back to Fort Lewis College days, but so it's great to be talking with you and talking about my favorite topic. So,
well, we're lucky to have someone with such a passion and breadth of experience here in Durango to really help us think about this really obviously very challenging issue. I'd like to discuss, maybe to start off, some of your thoughts. Well, through the course of this interview, some of your thoughts on the current barriers as well as opportunities as related to a successful affordable housing strategy in a mountain town in the West, such as Durango. So let's start with perhaps having you frame kind of the state of this state, the issue at present in terms of affordable housing and affordability in housing in the Durango area.
I would love to do that, Tammy. And I think it's important to put that in a historical context. We've been struggling with affordable housing here since the late 80s, right? So this is not a new topic to this community, but I've never seen it this bad. I don't think we've ever seen it this bad. And I think it's a combination of things. We've been discovered. We were discovered, 15 years ago, and we are landlocked. We don't have, which is a good thing, right? We don't want to be sprawling all over the four corners, but we're landlocked with limited land to develop. And so that's going to start the issue right there, is not being able to build to meet the current demands of folks wanting to live in Durango. So, but what's really hard to watch is what's happened since the pandemic. So in the last, 7 to 8 months, we see this all over Colorado. I just got off a call in Santa Fe. They're seeing it too. They call it the Zoom boomers, or the folks that can, who make very good money and can work from anywhere, are coming into these communities, and it's really impacting supply and demand. I think our current median house price in the county is like $630,000. That's double what it was 2 years ago. So although this has been an issue for a very long time, it's at a critical point right now. And that's why I wanted to write the op-ed and wanted to talk with you. Is the message is it's time. We have to stop talking. We have to get organized. Other issues to affordable housing besides we can't keep up with market demand and land costs are high. It's hard to build here. It's always been hard to build here. And so, but what's exciting in the industry is we are seeing alternative building, modular manufactured, much more cost-efficient building types. So I do think that we're going to see some pretty interesting opportunities in that space. But it's going to require everybody coming together, bringing their toys into the sandbox, right, so to speak, because we're going to need, in my op-ed, I talked about some things we tried about 10 years ago. Let me back up on that too, Tammy. I mean, yeah. We have a track record as a community. We have a track record of working together.
And, yeah, I was going to ask about that, and you were very involved in that.
Yeah, I came here in 2006 to start the Regional Housing Alliance and then the sister company, the Homes Fund, which is a community bank. And back then, we had a really robust coalition, which is what I think we need to do again. And we had local governments and an intergovernmental agreement. And we had a very clear strategy for how to maximize our local capacities. And I'm a big fan of maximizing government funds. Those are ours for the taking. And so when you have a comprehensive strategy, you can really move the dial. So we had a pretty significant uptick in opportunities from 2009 to 12 or 13. And then I moved on to go work at the state, and I had successors and politics happen, and the RHA got put back on a back burner. And I'm very excited to hear both city and county electeds and staff talking about bringing it back, because I don't know how else to do this. It really does require everybody coming together. Back then, we also had great partnerships with builders. We had partnerships with Three Springs, Twin Buttes, developers, bankers, workforce. We were even talking to Fort Lewis back then about doing housing on the campus. And so I just think it's a ripe opportunity. I hope we can move a little faster. Yeah. Because what's coming down the pike in terms of folks being displaced and federal response is it's going to require us to be ready to go.
So let me ask,
as a community.
Yeah, absolutely. No time to waste. What's changed? Are there new tools in the toolbox that weren't accessible or maybe are more accessible now in terms of if a regional housing authority got kind of reconstituted? Thoughts on that?
So, I think there's a lot more awareness of the need, which helps. It really helps bring in new players. So, for instance, we're seeing all over the state churches with underutilized land, and we're building housing and parking lots. I mean, I've got several projects right now. I think with COVID, we're going to see the reuse of commercial spaces. I think schools are going to be looking at providing, co-locating learning centers and housing, or repurposing their buildings. So I, you know, one of my things I wanted to say is there's a real opportunity to redevelop. And so, and again, it's because as a society, we're seeing that these physical uses aren't really needed anymore. And what we really need is housing. You couple that with significant increases in federal and state budgets for housing, and there's real opportunity, I think, to do some units.
And what about barriers? I mean, obviously great opportunities, but with this current landscape, it seems like there's a lot of things, you know, going for the opportunity for a really strong collaborative partnership in the Durango area and La Plata County. What do you see as some of the barriers that might, circumvent the process or slow it down?
We need to build capacity immediately. So I think whether it's the RHA, the city, the county, there needs to be dedicated housing staff to be able to shepherd process through, create incentives, open doors, make it easier to do development. And then we need to have development capacity. And so I'm actually already working on trying to bring in some additional development capacity here in Durango. And what that looks like is developers, it's kind of a developer's market because there's so much demand nationally mm-hmm. and regionally. I want to talk about New Mexico. Don't let me forget about Mexico and our neighbors here. But, you know, we're seeing the need across the region, and it's a very desirable place to live, and it could be a very desirable place to work if we can just put together thoughtful incentives. So that's a big part of it, is how do we build capacity as a region to provide the right kind of incentives to bring people in, and then to implement very specific goals that we have as a region. So, so a lot of the strategy documents I've looked at in the last couple of years, they talk about best practices. They have all the right ideas, but they don't assign specific outcomes or entities to doing the work. Right. So right. We need that person, that group that says, we are taking this on. Mm-hmm. Here is our mm-hmm. 2 year, three. Mm-hmm. Yep. Champion and driver. And we're going to make this happen. And we're going to, because every project requires 4 or 5 different kinds of tools or resources to work. And so again, we've got, I think we've got political interest. Mm-hmm. We just need to translate that political interest into action as soon as possible. I want to go back to opportunity. Mm-hmm. Something that I'm paying attention to for all the communities I work in is the Rescue Act, right? If that mm-hmm. gets passed, there mm-hmm. are billions of dollars for housing subsidies to help people experiencing homelessness, vouchers, development funding. And so I've been saying this for several months, but we're at a point we need to have a 12 to 24 month action plan ready to go. You know, when those bills, so the funding, they're anticipating some of those funds hitting the state of Colorado in the next, if it passes, in the next 60 days. So that's the kind of like, okay, let's go.
Yep. get the engine started.
Let's get ready for this. So,
So we just have a couple minutes left, but I'd love to hear some of your, the New Mexico example you were going to bring up. And you brought up an interesting one, the other day when we were chatting, over in Cortez. So, any of those kind of, projects that you love to highlight just as examples of what a really great innovative project might look like?
Oh, we have such incredible, talented people in the Southwest, the nonprofit groups that have been working on these issues for years. I love the work Terry Wheeler's doing over in Cortez. She she's renovating right now the old school building right off Main Street. I think it's called Calkins Commons. Really great idea. So, hey, 9R, can we have your building? Shameless plug there. anyway,
yeah,
no, I'm serious.
Got to do what you got to do.
I would totally do it. And then I really, I mean, one of the things we, I think we all love about living here is the Native American culture and our Native American neighbors. And we've got two sovereign nations. I mean, Three Springs, when they deliver affordable housing, it's through their for-profit growth fund, right? I mean, right. So they are providing some of the solutions to our whole region. Mm-hmm. And then my most favorite project that's in the works right now is over in Cortez with the Pinyon Project. And it's a I think it's the first off-site reservation project where we're working with them to, and it's really focusing on Native and non-Natives experiencing homelessness in the Four Corners. And it's a trauma-informed design that really integrates the Native culture. It's going to be welcoming. They're going to have Ute Mountain Ute service providers on site. So it's just, those are the kinds of things too we haven't even really started to delve into, the opportunities to work with our tribal partners in the region and answer issues that affect us all. So I'm very excited. I think we've got a lot of good things lined up.
Well, it's just great to, you know, feel a sense of hope around the issue, because I know a lot of folks are getting priced out and having to really make some hard decisions because of the affordability in the Durango and surrounding communities. So thanks so much, Jen Lopez, for your passion and your experience and your desire to keep the Durango area affordable for all.
Tammy, this was so much fun. I hope we get to do more of this. And I look forward to seeing you at the grocery store.
Exactly. I've been speaking with Jen Lopez. She's a Durango resident and an affordable housing consultant working in Colorado, Arizona, and New Mexico. Thanks again, Jen.
Have a great day, Tammy.